Deuteronomy 31, and we'll look at verse 12. Deuteronomy 31 and 12. Praise God. The Lord bless you for your efforts of reaching out to bring contacts, bring people to our festival and to church services. Amen. Let's read together. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. Praise God. That's why we spend so much time. That's why we expend so much money. That's why we make so much effort on something like the Fall Festival. It's not just fun. It's not just a carnival. We're reaching. We want to gather. Amen. And we're going to keep that focus. You may be seated. Now, together is the Lord's plan. And I'm thankful that that word occurs many, many times in the New Testament, and certainly here in the Old Testament as well. The admonition from the Lord is gather the people together. Men, women, children, all of them. Praise God. Thank the Lord that God is interested in the individual. Amen. And if there's a powerful difference between Old Testament and New Testament interaction with God, in the New Testament, we see one-on-one a lot. Now, it's that way in the Old Testament, too. Moses being called, and Samuel, and so on. We recognize that. But it seems that the Lord spends time with individuals. The healing, the teaching, the deliverance, and thank God that it's any man thirst, the Lord said. Any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. Thank God we found out the Scripture works. The Scripture's fulfilled. The Scripture comes to pass. Amen. And that flow of the Spirit that Jesus talked about in John chapter 7 definitely come to pass. Amen. And the end of the book, Revelation 22:17. The invitation from the Spirit and from the bride, which is the church. And three times the invitation is given. Come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Praise God. And that invitation is very strong. Whosoever. I'm glad it's anybody. Amen. The Lord opens it up to anybody. Take the water of life freely. Praise the Lord. And the individuals make up many. From any to many, the Word of God lets us know. John 1 and 12, as many, say that with me, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I'm glad I've got power to become. Amen. Not just sit and wish, not just hope, not just, you know, cross my fingers, cross my eyes, everything, trying to make something happen. No, I believe the Word of God. Amen. And we believe on His name, like John 1 and 12 tells us to. And oh my, great things happen, as many as received Him. And Peter, preaching with the 11 standing there with him, backing him up, and him referring to Scripture, the book of Joel, the book of Psalms, definitely basing it on the Word of God, he declared, the promise is unto you and to your children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thank the Lord. There's many that can be included. Galatians 3:27, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Praise God. And then he deals with the distinctions and says, there isn't any. There's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no bond, no free, no male, no female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. So the any becoming many and all one. Praise the Lord. Sons and daughters are how he identifies you. 2 Corinthians 6, and he declares, I'll be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters. And just to emphasize it, the word of God says, saith the Lord Almighty. That's who's making the invitation. That's who's saying, I'll be your father. You'll be my son. You'll be my daughter. Praise God. That's amazing to consider what he's inviting us to. So a family. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can enter the family. And Ephesians 3:14 lets us know the family name. The church is the family of God, and the family name is Jesus. For this cause, I bow my knees. See, he's referencing what was said in the Old Testament and what he also recorded in Philippians 2. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Praise God. That's the message we're trying to get out. That's why we do a fall festival. That's why we make an effort in special services with a speaker from out of town, a special speaker and so on. That's why we do all of these things, because we want people to know you can join the family. You can have the family name. And this surprised me when I went to the concordance on my computer. This is the only use of the word family in the New Testament. It's used a whole bunch of times in the Old Testament, but only one time in the New Testament right here. Praise God. So I think that adds even more significance to the fact that Jesus is the family name, and that's the name we want to adhere to. That's the name we want to exalt. That's the name we want to lift up. Praise God. Psalm 68:6, here's the use of the word families in the Old Testament. God setteth the solitary in families. Praise God. That's his idea of being together, a family. And then in the New Testament, his idea of being together is the church. And the solitary are invited to join the family. Praise God. And he bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. That's quite a distinction. Amen. He breaks the chains of bondage, and he makes us feel like we belong. We belong to this family. He's our father. Sons and daughters make up the family. Praise God. I don't want to have the reaction of being rebellious and say, no, I've got other things to do. No, I'm going to chase after other situations and possibilities and so on. No, I'm thankful he invites us to be in the family. Praise God. Moreover, he lets us know how important the next generation is. You know, in Psalm 100, with all the rejoicing, all of the singing, all of the praise that is there, and enter into his courts with praise, into his gates with thanksgiving, and all of that, and serve the Lord with gladness. The last phrase gives us the reason why. His truth endureth to all generations. That's why you can worship. That's why you can rejoice. That's why you can sing. Praise God. Because the Lord did it for you, and he'll do it for your children. He'll do it for your children's children. Praise God. His truth endureth to all generations. So that witness to the next generation is why we see examples in the Bible where, like the Passover, the firstborn was the one who benefited the most from the Passover. The death angel would come, And if he saw the blood on the doorposts, he would pass over. And that was to be a witness. In Exodus 12, 26 and 27, so your children will know. And they say, what does this mean? What are we doing this for? So your children will remember and know and understand the Passover lamb. The pot of manna. Remember, the manna that you gathered would be sufficient for one day. If you gathered an abundance, what happened to that manna the next day? It was useless. So the only day you gathered more was on Friday because you didn't do work on the Sabbath on Saturday. Okay? But the pot of manna that was in the ark didn't spoil, didn't become moldy, didn't stink, because the next generation needed to know for 40 years God took care of his people. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's what the Lord desired. Amen. They're crossing the Jordan. The Jordan is swollen over its banks. And the feet of the priests touch the water, and they stop. And they walk across on dry ground, except those 12 guys. Those 12 guys, you each pick up a stone. You carry it across. You carry it all the way to Gilgal. And then you put a pile of stones there. So that when your children ask, what's this pile of stones here for? You tell them, we came across the Jordan on dry ground. Thank God for the memorials that we can pass on to our kids. Thank God for what we were able to remember, what we were able to testify about. This is what the Lord did. This is how the Lord provided. This is how the Lord answered prayer. Praise God. So that your children could know. Amen. And Deuteronomy 4:10, there's an emphasis on this gather. Deuteronomy 4:10, gather me, the people, together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Praise God. So, the recognition again of the need to gather. And in verse 9, the emphasis on teaching the next generation. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Praise God. And thank the Lord. That's what we pass on. That's why our Sunday school is so important. That's why we pray at home. That's why we read the Bible at home and share scripture. That's why we have those little scripture cards that we pull out. And everybody reads one around the breakfast table and pray and stick them back in there again and do the same thing the next day. Praise God. Because we want the word to be in the hearts of our children. Amen. And let me just say here, thank you to our Sunday school teachers. You don't have the full responsibility for the saints of the church. You shouldn't. And if the saints of the church are relying on the Sunday school teachers completely, shame on you. You need to be doing it at home as well. Yeah, I know you are. But the Sunday school teachers have a huge responsibility of passing this word on to those children. Now, the saints' kids are getting it at home. But the visitors, the guests, the ones who are just starting, how important your work is to reach out to them. And then for their families. And so I say thank you, Sunday school teachers, for all the work that you put into Sunday school. Amen. Amen. So the men, women, the children, and the stranger. Gentiles were considered strangers by the Hebrews. They weren't included. Although the Lord said, there were many lepers in the day of Elisha, well, only one was healed. Who was he? Naaman. A Syrian? Many widows in the days of Elijah, but only one that he ministered to, the Shunammite woman. That was kind of a wake-up call that the Lord gave him. The stranger. See, and this is what Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 12. He said, he's looking at a Gentile church, the Ephesians, and he says, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What a situation. Without Christ, without God, aliens, strangers, no promise, no hope. That's pretty destitute. But I'm thankful for verse 19 of that same chapter, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What a change. Praise God. We're brought into that commonwealth. We're brought into that covenant. Praise God. And strangers and foreigners no more, but fellow citizens, saints, the household of God. Amen. There's the family aspect again, see? That's where the Lord wants us to be. However, Peter, in his writings, uses the idea of a stranger in a different way. Look at 1 Peter 2 and 11. He uses stranger from the standpoint that the church is on a journey, that you don't belong here, and this isn't your home. This isn't where you're staying. You're going somewhere. And so he says, dearly beloved, verse 11, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. As you are journeying, as you recognize you don't fit in here, you're a stranger, you're a pilgrim, you're making your journey. Praise God. Abstain. You know, don't help the enemy. Don't open the door. Don't let him come charging in by whatever avenue you might open the door. You know, that a friendship, reading material, the internet, videos. Don't open the door for the enemy. Amen. Abstain, because you're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. And there is a war for your soul. And so, amen. Continue on. So then, we come to the purpose. The purpose was to hear. The purpose was to learn. The purpose was to do. And so, let's take a look at each of those. Again, the any aspect is emphasized in Revelation 3 and 20. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. That's the hear part. Not just hear the voice, but open the door. Then there's going to be fellowship. Praise God. There's going to be communion. There's going to be relationship. I will sup with him and he with me. Praise God. And that's what we desire. Praise God. Remember, you've probably seen that famous painting, the Lord standing at the door and knocking. What's unique about that painting? What? There's no latch on the outside. The Lord can't open the door and come in. You have to open the door on the inside. So, a very unique aspect there. Next time you see that picture, take a look. It's an important point. Now, in Revelation, seven times, there's a lot of repetition in the Word of God. He that hath an ear, and seven times that is spoken to each of the seven churches. You need to hear what the Spirit says. Amen. A lot of voices in our world today, isn't there? My goodness. A lot of false doctrine. Let me just put it right out there. A lot of false doctrine. A lot of false doctrine that is right on the edge of what we believe and what we teach. A lot of people that we used to call brother and sister have moved in a direction that is trying to pull away from truth. A love of the truth. Yeah, my goodness. Yeah, Brother Mike and I looked at this book we got in the mail. I got in the mail and trying to figure out what in the world is he, what point is he trying to make? What is he trying to say? And trying to accuse us of tradition along the lines of what happened in 325 AD. And I'm trying to think, what? That's, you know, anyway. There's a lot of voices, and we need to be tuned in to what the Spirit says. Praise God. Because the Spirit is going to illuminate the Word of God. There's going to be not a new revelation, but an illumination, light shining on a revelation. That's the Spirit of truth, leading and guiding you into all truth. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that there is that blessing and that power that the Lord can give us. Amen. Some teach that the seven churches are seven eras of church history. Well, that may be. But I think it's just simpler to look at seven apostolic churches in Asia that needed correction, that were examples of what not to do as well as what to do. There were commendations and there were condemnations that were given. Only one church had a lack of condemnation, Philadelphia. Only one church had a lack of commendation, Laodicea. So obviously we know what the Lord favors. We know what the Lord's going to bless. And that's what we've got to focus on. That's what we've got to make sure we're tuning in. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. A spiritual hearing impairment is far worse than a physical hearing impairment. And somebody can have perfect hearing in the natural, but be totally deaf in the spiritual. That is really a sad situation. A retired minister couldn't hear, but he kept coming to church. Somebody asked him, why do you come? You can't hear. And he said, I just want the devil to know whose side I'm on. Praise God. I'm sure he could feel something too. Amen. As the word of God went forth and the preaching happened and worship broke out. Praise God. Stay tuned to the voice of the Spirit. Now, James has a lot of practical advice. Look at James 1 and 19. We're talking about hearing. So he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, now we go on, any man, many, now every, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Sometimes folks get those things mixed up. And the swift and the slow get misplaced. Be swift and slow in the right places. Amen. So that the word of God is honored. All right? James 1:21. Lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Praise God. I'm thankful that the word of the Lord brings salvation. That's why we stick with the word. That's why we're not going to just jump into sensational things all the time. You know, we're going to do this. Woo, we're going to do that. No, we're going to preach the word. We're going to teach the word. We're going to honor the word. Praise God. And, you know, the fall festival, it I don't know if you can consider it sensational or not. It's pretty cool. But we're not focusing on those things. Amen. We do it to bring attractions, bring a crowd, but we're going to stick with the Word of God because that's where salvation is. Amen. The Living Bible renders it like this. Get rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside, and humbly be glad for the wonderful message we have received for it is able to save our souls as it takes hold of our hearts. Man, that's a pretty good paraphrase, isn't it? The Message, oh my goodness, The Message, something you want to be amused? Read The Message sometime. It's pretty interesting. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. Here's a good word picture. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. That's an interesting word picture, isn't it? And those of you who garden can make a strong connection. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Drop down to verse 25 of James 1. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, the man shall be blessed in his deed. So he emphasized being a doer as well as a hearer. Verse 22, back up a little bit. You can deceive yourself if you only limit to just being a hearer and not a doer. On the margin of my Bible, it says you're cheated. Who likes to be cheated? Nobody likes to be cheated. Well, be a doer as well as a hearer then. So you don't deceive yourself, you don't cheat yourself. Amen. Do both. Okay, learn. Learn. I thought about, Jesus gives a lot of invitations. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. I like that invitation. Then he goes on. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And that stopped me. Meek and lowly. Lord, you're miraculous and mighty. Lord, you're awesome and almighty. What's this meek and lowly? That's what he said, isn't he? He said, learn of me. You'll find rest for your souls. Rest is emphasized twice. Praise God. I'm thankful that's what the Lord gives us. Never forget it. The devil likes to hide that from you. But in the midnight hour, when you're tossing and turning, the Lord's promised you rest. Amen. When you're caught up in confusion and turmoil and you don't know what to do, the Lord's promised you rest. Amen. Learn of me, he said, for I am meek and lowly. That means meek and lowly in heart. He emphasized that. Meek and lowly in heart. I believe that means he's approachable. Yes. That he listens. That he hears. That he moves with compassion. And he ministers. Praise God. Other translations say, I'm gentle and humble. And that's why we can come to him. That's why he says, come boldly before the throne of grace. He's not going to kick you down, kick you out, kick you around. No. His power is available to you. Praise God. So, learning, learning. Titus 3 and 14. And we're talking about purpose now. The gathering is for a purpose. And the purpose is to hear. The purpose is to learn. The purpose is to do. Titus 3 and 14. Let ours also learn, everybody say learn, to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. There's that unfruitful aspect that we talked about in our study on fruit. Learn to maintain. Stay steady. You know, you've seen people who are on fire and oh man, just go, 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 and then burn out. We've seen some that go like that. Oh, man, super duper in the wintertime, And then summertime, woo! Time to party, time to goof off, time to forget God, time to skip church. And then wintertime, ooh, man, superpower, spiritual. You get kind of tired of that cycle. Maintain. Praise God. Stay steady. Good works for a good example. And be not unfruitful. Jesus emphasized doing. He emphasized obeying the word. In Luke chapter 6, a lot of lessons, a lot of teaching that the Lord rendered. Luke 6:47, he gives a strong word picture about obeying his word. Verse 47, whosoever cometh to me, that come to me, that, I like that, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, we're talking about doing now, I will show you to whom he is like. And then the two word pictures. The one who hears my word and does it, like the man who built his house upon the rock. The flood came, the streams flowed, the storm was there, the house stood. The one who hears my word and doesn't do it is like what? The man who built his house upon the earth, the sand. The same storms, the same circumstances, and the house fell. But the lesson is, obey. Obey. Now, the Lord introduced that lesson with a very, very strong statement in verse 46. It was a powerful preface. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Then he went into the lesson on doing what you hear. Pretty strong, isn't it? And so obviously, following through. James emphasized this. We already looked at some of what James said. Be a hearer and a doer. Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And he said, you're going to receive a blessing. You shall be blessed in your deed, or what's done. What you do, that's what you're going to emphasize. Wow. Okay. So we understand, doing the word. Acts 2:38, repent, get baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. All so important, but that's just the beginning. Sometimes we look at it as the graduation. No, that's just the birth certificate. Got to keep going. There's lots of word yet. And fulfill that. Praise God. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship, breaking bread, prayer. Amen. All of those aspects that Peter, and many other words Peter preached. It'd be interesting to know what else he said. Amen. How long did he preach anyway? They baptized 3,000. That was a long service. Praise God. But there's going to be a final gathering. We're caught up. Amen. Paul told the Thessalonians, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. You know, he's emphasizing. This is God's word. It's not us. We're not telling you some fantasy, some fairy tale. This is what the word of the Lord says. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Amen. And then we which are alive and remain. Oh my. Thank God. The Lord himself shall descend. And then everything is going to be put into action. Praise God. The power of the Lord that is going to be displayed. Amen. Stay alive in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Praise God. Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're not just doing things in futility. You're not just doing something that's going to be erased and forgotten and washed down the drain. No, no. This is powerful. Amen. And this is, you know, that gathering, John chapter 5 amazes me. in the statement that the Lord makes here. Those in the graves will hear his voice. What? Well, that's how the dead are going to rise first, right? Amen. But it's interesting to consider how the power of the Lord and his word, his voice, is going to be manifest. The dead, this is John 5, 25 through 29, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And there's two resurrections, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. Judgment is going to be sure. Do the right works so you end up in the right resurrection. Do. See, that's what we're talking about here. And Jesus said, marvel not at this. How can you not marvel at it? This is incredible. Praise God. All in the graves will hear his voice, the marvelous work that he does. Listening to the voice of the Spirit, that he that hath an ear, we read the word. We hear the Spirit. We feel his presence. We know he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and we walk into the recognition, amen, of how God is working in our lives. Be ready and listening. Praise God, because there is going to be a shout. There is going to be the voice of the archangel. There is going to be the trump of God, amen. And that trumpet is not going to give an uncertain sound. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare himself to battle? Well, this is going to be a certain sound. Amen. And here's the thing. You'll be thrilled to go. Make sure you're ready. Do the right works. Amen. Obey the word of God. Walk in the Spirit. All of those things that we know are so important. But you'll also be so thrilled to see somebody else that you invited, that you worked with, that you taught, that you helped, that you encouraged, that you prayed for, make it as well. That's why we invite men, women, children. That's why we want to see them come in. That's why we go for a guest, we used to call it. That's why we say there's a family that you can belong to, and it's a family of faith. Praise God. Hebrews 13, verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Why? Might be an angel. Praise God. So, we're gathering with a purpose. To hear, to learn, to do the word of the Lord. Amen. And it's easier to invite someone you know. In some ways, you know, you can put the invite in the mail, or you can drop it off at their house, or invite them over, and before they leave, be sure and give them a flyer or whatever. But a stranger needs that as well. Amen. And making sure that everybody, praise God. One poet, William Yeats, said, there are no strangers here, only friends you haven't yet met. Well, God is interested in everyone. Praise God. And I know we pray, I know we fast, I know we believe God, and we want to see revival, we want to see the increase, and I believe the Lord is interested in it as well. Praise God. That's why he left us here. That's why you didn't fall over dead when you started speaking in tongues. You know, why would the Lord leave us here with a chance of backsliding? Why would the Lord leave us here to fight these battles and be tempted and battered and beat up sometimes by the devil? Because he wants to give us a testimony of how good God is. And you can tell somebody else who needs comfort. You can tell somebody else who needs to be challenged. You need to tell somebody else who needs to be encouraged. Praise God. You can make it. I'm praying for you. I'm believing God with you. Amen. And come on over to my house. Let's have coffee. Let's talk about the word of the Lord. Amen. You encourage them. You lift them up. That's what God left you here for. Amen. Not to be, you know, walking on the edge and teeter-totter back and forth about, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it serving God. That sure looks good over there, you know, in the world. No, no. The Lord left you here as a witness. Praise God. And we thank the Lord we can gather. Let's gather up here for just a bit. We hear, we learn, and we do. That's the purpose for which we gather. Men, women, children, stranger, everybody. Amen. And so I encourage you, keep going. You're doing good. You're doing good. All that work, all that effort, all those contacts, all those flyers. Praise God. But let's kick it up a notch. Amen. Let's really start passing those flyers out, giving the invitations and church cards, whatever method you do. Amen. And those Bibles that we're going to pass out has a little mini flyer in it that says free home Bible study. Praise God. I believe that we're going to get some Bible studies out of this. And people are going to want to know. Amen. And we'll be able to share with them the word of the Lord. Because we've taken the time to learn. We've taken the time to hear. And then we've purposed in our heart we're going to do what the word of God says. Let's ask the Lord to just bless our efforts. Bless our purpose. Amen. To reach out into the field to sow, thank God. And that word is what's going to be productive. That word is what's going to bring the results. Praise God. Nothing else. No, changing it. No trying to make it more grand. Try to make it more relevant. No, it's the seed. It's the word of God. That's what's going to produce the results. So we're going to stay with it. Let's ask the Lord to help. Oh, Jesus.